the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heaven's mercy stream of the Savior's love for me, I will rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much. That's the gospel being fulfilled in that song. Would you please stand with me for the reading and the hearing of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 4 through 11. Hear these words. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Now I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. with you, I am well pleased. And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace and God of glory, God of promises and God of promises kept, no greater promise that you have given was the promise of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, and the subsequent gift of your Holy Spirit that is now with us and in us as we praise and glorify and honor your most holy name. Be in us and with us, Lord, and open our hearts, open our minds, open our thoughts, open our ideas to what you are saying to us in this, your holy word. In all the words from Scripture that we have heard this morning, from the Psalms, from Acts, from Matthew, and now from Mark, touch us with the power and the presence of your Spirit and transform us by the hearing and the reading of your word, that we might become the people that you created us to be, people of God, people of faith, people who praise and glorify and honor you with our very lives. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. It's good to be done with 2020, right? Isn't it a good thing to be done with 2020? But you know, 2020 had its redeeming qualities. There were things about 2020 that brought us closer as families, that brought our churches closer, that allowed us to see the things that we thought that were so important in our lives, the things that we could not do without, that we can actually do without them, that we could live and we could actually thrive. And so I'm thankful in a way, not for COVID-19, but you know, there's a scripture that I love to recite to people who are going through hard times, Romans 8:28. All things, that's everything, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. In all the challenges that we find in life, in all the times that you find yourself in the desert, God is up to something good. I had a professor at Pittsburgh Theological that I told him one time I was struggling with some things, and he looked at me, Andrew Purvis is his name, Dr. Andrew Purvis, and he told me about his friend who was struggling one time. And his friend came to him and said, Andrew, I'm struggling in the worst way. And he looked at his friend and he says, oh goody, God is up to something good. Because God works in the desert times. God works in the seasons in our life when we are tested. And God prevails in our lives. And so 2020 was such a year. And I'm really looking forward to 2021 of what it might be. You know, usually in the beginning of a year, you would do your resolutions. Tom, did you do your resolutions for this year?
That I would let God set my resolutions.
There you go. Let God set your resolutions. Dottie and I have some resolutions, and they're kind of like the same resolutions that we do every year. But one of the resolutions that I have, and God spoke to me last night through my wife, And she let me know that I've been slipping in my morning devotion. I've been busy doing work for the church, and I've been slipping in my morning devotion. And she called me on it. And I thank God last night that I heard God speak through Dottie and give me the challenge. So my resolution is that I will be back even more in the Word than I've been. Even when I was in seminary, I'm looking forward to that. And I started this morning, not in this scripture, not in what we're doing, but in something for me. And so I'm looking forward to what God will be doing in my life and in the life of this church and in the life of our country moving forward. God is still God and God is still sovereign. And so no matter where you fall in the political spectrum or whatever, you're going to be just fine. God is still God, and God is still sovereign, and God is going to do some great works in us this year if we are ready for them. Now, today's scripture, Lucy said, we celebrate Epiphany, okay, the revelation of the Messiah, and we always mark that with the coming of the Magi. And it's not, you know, usually we had the live nativity outside, and usually you see the Magi right there because we're trying to put the whole story, pack it all in. But the Magi aren't at that birthplace. They come, like you said, almost 2 years later, okay? And they had seen a sign in the stars. And we actually just, what was it, last week, the 21st of December, we saw what they called a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter. And they came strangely close together, and it's the first time in 800 years that that had happened. And I'd seen pictures of that conjunction, that star, over Bethlehem, and it looked like some of those Christmas cards, the bright and morning star, right? There it was. And NASA actually forecasted and said, the last time, the 800 years ago, it was visible, and then before that, it wasn't quite visible because it came during the sundown, and it might have not been that visible. But they said that about 7 AD is when it last happened. Now, we don't really know the birth time of Jesus, but that 7 AD is probably about right, because when you look at all the gospel messages, we're thinking that Jesus was really born 6 AD or 7 AD. So that would have been around the same time. Now, in the early church, before they ever celebrated Christmas, Christmas wasn't the big deal. It was the Epiphany. And they celebrated the Epiphany, and then later on, they started to focus on Luke's gospel, the second chapter of Luke's gospel, and they gave awareness to that. But the early church worshiped and used Epiphany as a way to understand that the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was there, that God was with us. And we celebrate that. And so today we celebrate that, the Epiphany, but we also celebrate the baptism of our Lord. The two scriptures that we have today, the one from Acts and the one from Mark, both talk about baptism. Paul says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, and there he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" They said to him, "We didn't even know about the Holy Spirit." Well then, what baptism did you receive then? And they said to him, John's baptism. And then later on in today's gospel, in Mark's gospel, we read about John's baptism and how John baptized Jesus. Well, Paul knew that John's baptism was important because it prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. It was a very important part, and it was scripture being fulfilled in John. And so when John came to prepare the way, in fact, where's my Bible? I'm always losing things. We started with Mark's gospel in the first chapter with the fourth verse. And it goes like this, "And so John came baptizing in the desert." But before that, the first verse says this, "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you,'" ahead of Jesus, "who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." So John came really as a forerunner. He was on the advance team. He came in to prepare the way so that when Jesus came in, people would recognize him. And so those that were baptized by John in the desert, came with contrite hearts, sorrowful hearts, an understanding that we fall short of God's glory. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And it was an understanding of that you needed something that wasn't in you. It wasn't about resolutions. It wasn't about doing something better. It was about you needed an outside source to help you, and that source was from God. And so they came to John in the desert with contrite and sorrowful hearts. And they came and they had the baptism of repentance. Repentance, the word is metanoia. It's a Greek word that means change your mind. The Greek army, it's been told to me because I've not been in the Greek army, but when they would say metanoia, and they would be marching, they would turn around, it would be an about face. We would say about face, but they would turn around in the opposite direction, 180 degrees. Meta, change, noia, the mind, change your mind. So when they came to John in the desert, they were already changing their mind. They were already accepting that they could not help themselves, that they needed help. And so they came, and they were baptized by John in the desert at the Jordan River. Now Jesus shows up. Now we know Jesus is the Messiah, right? We know that today. But he shows up, and they didn't know him back then. He's showing up at the Jordan just like everybody else in the crowds. And here he shows up to be baptized. Some early leaders in the church tried to ignore that because, you know, we know Christ is sinless. How can he save us from our sins if he himself is sinful? So why would he need a baptism of repentance? Why would he need a contrite heart? Why would he need to change his mind? So Jesus shows up to be baptized. And in another gospel, we find out that John protests. You know, I'm not worthy to, and he says that here, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes, his sandals. There's one that comes after me that's more powerful than me. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's what he said in this gospel. And in other gospels, it says, and with fire. So here's Jesus. He shows up at John's baptism, and he receives this baptism of repentance, of changing his mind. And it bothered me, too, when I looked at that. In fact, do you remember when Mel Gibson did The Passion of the Christ? I remember going to see that movie kind of with my Bible in my mind, thinking that I'm going to see and check out, see how closely Mel Gibson stayed with the Bible. And there was a scene in that movie where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Satan was dancing around him. Do you remember that? And I thought, wait a minute, Satan's not in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I was protesting that in my heart. And then I remembered, right after Jesus' baptism, when his mind is being changed and he's sent out into the desert, which is the next thing, by the Holy Spirit to be tested by Satan for a while. And then it says in Scripture that after a while, Satan left him for a more opportune time. What would be a more opportune time than the Garden of Gethsemane? So kudos to Mel Gibson. I think he probably had that right. My point in bringing that up is Jesus is perfect. Jesus is sinless. Jesus doesn't need to undergo this baptism of repentance with this contrite heart, but Jesus submits to it so that all righteousness might be done. So I want to talk to you today about the three R's, and it's not reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I always wondered about that. Reading starts with an R, right? Reading. Writing doesn't start with an R. has an R sound, but it starts with a W, and arithmetic starts with an A. So the three R's are not what we're talking about, reading, writing, and arithmetic. We're talking about the three R's from Scripture. But just for a second, I want to dwell on the time when I was growing up. Because, you know, when I was a kid, I remember learning to spell with phonics. You know, phonics is sounds of things, right? So you put words together and you sound them out. I was the worst speller as a kid. And like I would spell mirror, M-I-R-A-H. Because that's the way we said it in Massachusetts. That's the way we said it in New England. You know, if we talked about the three R's in New England, they don't have R's. They have A's. And if you're going to speak like a New Englander, you take your R's and you make them A's, and you take your A's and you make them R's. So they do have R's, but they're in the places where A's belong. I'll give you a case in point. I grew up with four sisters. But in New England, they were sisters. And my mother was a mother. And my father, and sometimes you hear it when I say the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Okay, it slips out sometimes. The three R's, that's not what we're talking about today. And we're not talking about New England linguistics or any of those kinds of things. But when I did move to Washington, D.C., I did learn to spell because I realized I was mispronouncing everything. And I was in public relations, so I had to change my dialect. I had to change the way I spoke, and I started to spell much better. I still struggle with some of that. But the three R's I want to talk to us today about, the first one we already talked about it, repentance, changing one's mind, submitting to the understanding that I need help, that I need someone outside of myself, specifically, I need a Savior. I need God, God in the flesh. I need God to save me. So that's repentance. Okay, the second one is what?
Righteousness.
The second one is righteousness. Righteousness comes not from ourselves. And Jesus said, I need to do this so that all righteousness might be done. Okay, righteousness actually comes from God. And through Jesus Christ, who gives us his righteousness. So when we are baptized and we go to the font, we put on Christ, we put on Christ's righteousness. It's a gift. It's imputed. It's given to us. It's not something that I can earn. It's not something that I can change in my life. It's not something that I can develop. He gives it to us. It's a free gift. It's grace. And so that righteousness is given to us. But we need to live into that righteousness. We need to take that righteousness and make it work in our lives. And we do that by the power and the presence of the gift that we get at that baptism. The gift that we saw in the first reading when Paul says, oh, you had the baptism of repentance, John's baptism. But now let me baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he baptizes them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he puts his hand on them, and all of a sudden they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking in tongues. They are transformed. The Holy Spirit changes us, and the Holy Spirit informs us, and the Holy Spirit works in us so that we might grow, that we might become righteous, not our own righteousness, but that we take Christ's righteousness and we put it on. And Paul said it in another way, the armor of God, put on the full armor of God, right? Put on that full armor of God and allow it to work for you. The third R, we could say is reconciliation, but that's not what we said. We said the R, the third R, is revelation, and that's what Epiphany is about. That God is revealed, that the Spirit of God works in us and reveals God's self to us in such a way that we know that's God. That it comes and it confirms our spirit and says, that was God working in my life. Now, Every one of us, whether you realize it or not, have had God show himself to you at some time in your life. And it was God that was there. It was the Spirit of God revealing to you his will, his righteousness, his ways. And one thing that we can do, and this is a resolution for me for this year, but one thing we can do is cooperate with the Spirit of God. Allow the Spirit of God to remind us, but also to delve into the Scriptures, because that's where God's Word is. And when we get into the Scripture with the Spirit in us, the Spirit that's in us reveals to us God's will for our lives. And so we can be like Jesus and say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. It won't be like Burger King where you have it your way. We say to God, you're the king, I'm not. You have it your way in my life. And the thing is that when we do that, we find out that fits us just right. It's why we were made. It's why we exist. As a young Catholic growing up, one of the things in the catechism was, why did God make me? And I remember that answer was, God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him. We exist for God. God created us because his love was overflowing, and he wants with us to be even more overflowing, if that can be possible. But it is because of God. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And we who believe him become children of God. And not just children, but heirs. Heirs to the kingdom. So that we become brothers and sisters of Christ. And the Holy Spirit works in us to reveal his ways, his purposes, his thoughts. So that we might move and have our being in the one who created us for a forever relationship with himself. So in 2021, my resolution is to use these three R's, not reading, writing, arithmetic, but to be contrite in my heart, to recognize that I need to repent. I need to turn away from the world's ways. I need to put on the righteousness of Christ in my life. I need to listen to the Holy Spirit that reveals to me God's word and his will and his ways, so that 2021 can be the best year. Can be the best year. So that's my prayer for myself, but it's also my prayer for Holiday Park United Methodist Church, my prayer for my family, and my prayer for all of you out there, that God will reveal himself to you in such a way that you'll know it's God, that you'll feel him working, that you'll sense his righteousness. And by the way, when we come into the presence of a holy God, we come undone like Isaiah. We fall short, right? But God's the one that lifts us up. He's the one that dusts us off. He's the one that puts us back on track. He's the one that lives in us to accomplish his will, his purposes, and his ways. Would you pray with me, please? God of righteousness, God of love, God of reconciliation, we can't do it on our own, but you don't ask us to. You say, just believe. And as we believe, you give to us your own Spirit. So we have everything we need. We have your word. We have your Spirit. We know your will because you reveal it to us. Allow us to grow in wisdom and knowledge and love of you every day of our life, that we might be and become the people that you created us to be, all to your glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.